This podcast of the Swain Event is brought to you by InsureFit RM. For all of your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call InsureFit RM at 865-684-4900.
Touchdown or Turnover is backed by Alcoatin Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong.
Touchdown Turnover, backed by Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong, better rates and better service, atfcu.com. All right, Aaron Beasley committed to Tennessee over the weekend. He is from Heard County High School in Franklin, Georgia. He committed to Tennessee, I want to say on Sunday, 6'5", 220 pounds, and he announced via his Twitter account that he was coming to the University of Tennessee. Says they've been probably his favorite the whole time since they offered. And today's Touchdown Turnover is really about what position is he going to play at Tennessee if he signs with Tennessee, because the only thing he did was just commit. But if he signs with Tennessee, what position do you see him playing? Will he be playing offense or defense? So today's Touchdown Turnover, Aaron Beasley will play on the offensive side of the football, touchdown or turnover.
Just to give a little context on Tennessee's recruiting weekend, basketball received a commitment from Drew Pember, 6'9" forward on the basketball court from Bearden High School. Friday morning, that kind of kicked things off. And then later that afternoon, Anthony Harris, a defensive back from North Carolina, committed to Tennessee over UNC, NC State, and Virginia Tech. He's a defensive back. He reminded me of Rashawn Galton, kind of going through his tape, kind of does it all for his high school team. If you remember Rashawn Galton, he had about 277 tackles per season at Independence High School. And then, as Swain just said, on Sunday afternoon, Aaron Beasley committed to Tennessee, a three-star athlete from Heard County. I think he plays linebacker. 6'1", and he's already 220. By the time he gets into a college strength and conditioning program, I mean, he's going to bulk up to 6'40". He's kind of known as a defensive back right now and running back, but I think that defensive back is going to transition to a linebacker. He ran for 1,700 yards and 29 touchdowns last season, and Tennessee doesn't really have that bowling ball type running back that we talked about last week on the show, but Jeremy Pruitt likes a linebacker that can kind of do it all, a versatile linebacker. And Aaron Beasley is a guy that will come up and hit you, fill the gaps. He's solid in run coverage, or run support rather. So I think he plays linebacker, especially at that size, and I think he's going to continue to bulk up.
Six foot and a half. You say he'll be 240.
By the time he spends a summer in a strength and conditioning program.
I think you said he was going to be 640.
You said 640.
Oh, so he will be morbidly obese.
Woo, he's going to be unstoppable, man.
Just goal line, hand it to him every time.
Yeah, yep, man, he's going to be unstoppable.
Might be the new fullback.
Touchdown, turnover, offense, or defense. So,
I say defense, linebacker. Defense.
So turnover, because the question is, he will play offense at Tennessee. So turnover for Ben. Charlie, where are you going?
It's turnover for me also, and I'm basing it off of his comments that he gave to Ryan Callahan at 247 Sports over the weekend. He said specifically, "I like the coaching staff a lot, and I like safeties coach Charles Kelly, who all he's coached. I like his coaching development. I like the atmosphere up there and his coaching schemes and stuff like that." And then later on in the article, he talks a little bit about playing on offense. And he said, when it came to the offense, all he said was, "They said it's all up to whatever I want to do. I'll see how the season goes." And then he continued on and said, "Honestly, I'll play anywhere on the defensive side of the ball, wherever they want to put me, maybe linebacker." He didn't say that. I put that in there. But other than defensive line or corner or something, he said with a laugh, he's definitely too big for corner, but and not big enough for defensive line. So I think just from those comments alone, it seems like he is focused in on playing defense, or maybe just expecting to play defense, if nothing else. And so I'll say, yeah, he ends up on the defensive side of the ball. I'm also kind of with Ben. I think size-wise, he shapes up almost as a linebacker a little bit more.
I think it might be like a TK Jr. situation where he balloons up.
Yeah, and hopefully the coaches have the presence of mind to actually put their players where they're supposed to go. So if he's supposed to be a linebacker,
what kind
maybe
of concept is that?
who knows, man? Making adjustments, doing things that are actually smart for your football team? That's crazy. But, I think he ends up on defense.
I mean, if you just look at his height and weight and you say, okay, what position is this young man going to play, you probably would say running back. I mean, 6'5", 220 pounds. Kevin Simon was listed at 5'11", but I don't even know if Kevin Simon was 5'11". But let's just say he was 5'11". Kevin Simon was a shorter linebacker. Now, Kevin Simon was a player here at Tennessee, and he made up for it with the speed, with his intelligence, and how he, you know, attacked the ball carrier. But we just have not seen a lot of guys under 6'1 playing linebacker in the SEC. You got to make up for it with speed or anticipation or how you deliver a blow when you get to the ball carrier. It's hard for me to believe that someone – and I watched this film. I watched him running the football. I watched him tackling in open space. When the dude hits you, go watch this man's highlight film. He is knocking running backs in the dirt. It's hard for me to believe that he's not going to play defense. I'm going to say turnover, that he plays defense. He won't play offense. But I'm telling you, I would not be surprised if he plays offense because he has nice feet, breakaway speed. He's only 6'5". That is perfect running back height. 220 is perfect running back size for this staff. This is how you recruit at a very high level. You recruit guys that can play one or two or even three positions for you. They're athletes. They're football players. This is what Coach Fulmer did back in the day when he used to recruit guys like the Al Wilsons and the Eric Westmorelands and the Kevin Burnetts, guys that play two or three positions in high school, and they can come in to your program playing two or three different positions. And you just put them at one of those three positions in practice and see where they play well at the most. Where do they play their best ball? What position? If it's running back, cool, keep him there. If it's linebacker, keep him there. If it's safety, keep him there. It reminds me a lot of how Coach Fulmer used to recruit. But 6'5", 220, one of the top players in Georgia, and Tennessee is creeping up to that top 10 spot here in the team rankings. Not saying that it matters all that much. To a certain extent, it kind of does, but it's not the end-all be-all. But really good to see Tennessee being recognized for what they're doing right now in recruiting. So Alabama's number one. You got
shocker
Tennessee at 15 in the country with 10 commitments right now.
I believe they were 20 on Friday. So with the commitment of Anthony Harris and Aaron Beasley, that shot them up the ranks. And I want to say, I'll check this during the break, but I want to say Tennessee basketball jumped into the top 25 for 2019 as well. So as Drew Pember was the second guy that's committed in that class, they have a kid from New York City, and Devontae Gaines, who's a small forward.
New York City?
Yeah, the next Bernard King, right?
Tennessee is ranked 11. 11.
Tennessee basketball?
Tennessee basketball.
Not bad.
11.
But Rick Barnes, I thought he's mailing it in. He doesn't recruit.
Barnes can't recruit.
He doesn't care anymore. He's lazy.
Can't recruit.
He mailed it in.
He can't recruit. That's what
came,
they say.
Came here to retire.
That's what they say, man.
Come on.
Hey, all I know is give me a 3-star from Georgia every day of the week and give me a 3-star basketball player from New York City that plays in the inner city. Right, I'll take that all day long.
I'm with you there. Mm-hmm. Tennessee, number 11th in basketball, and Tennessee football is they're 15th in football. 865-255-03. Swain Event, stay with us.
At some point in your life, you're going to need an attorney. You need a guy like Jared Castile with the law firm of Butler, Vines, and Babb. Jared Castile is East Tennessee born, and he understands what giving his all truly means. To Jared, every case is big and every client is important. He will aggressively push your case to make sure you are quickly paid every dollar that you deserve. Give Jared Castile a call, 865-244-3000. 3933 and talk with him directly. His office is located at 2701 Kingston Pike. So if you've been injured in a car wreck, let Jerrica Steele and Butler Vines and Babb fight for you.
Top 100 barbecue restaurant Dead End Barbecue isn't just a great place to go for dinner. They have fantastic lunch specials every day. Monday through Friday, they offer great deals on different meals each day. Dead End Barbecue has the Smoke and Sweet meal with half-smoked chicken. A side, choice of bread and banana pudding on Monday, brisket French dip on Tuesday, salmon salad on Wednesday, Thursday is the cold smoked turkey BLT, and center cut boning pork chop on Friday. Not to mention, you can get a bowl of beans and smoked sausage for $6 every day. So when you are looking for somewhere to go for lunch during the week, look no further than Top 100 Barbecue Restaurant Dead End Barbecue. Check them out online at deadendbbq.com. Dead End Barbecue, your lunch search is over.
You're driving home, flashing blue lights in your rearview mirror. The next thing you know, you're being arrested for DUI. Be responsible, but remember, just because you're arrested doesn't mean you're guilty. Call DUI and criminal defense attorney Marcos Garza. Put this number in your phone right now, 865-540-8300, because you never know when you or a friend will need it. Don't say guilty, say Garza. 865-540-8300 and GarzaLaw.com.
We have all made the mistake of dropping or breaking our smartphones. See? But did you know that you can have it repaired for a fraction of the cost that it takes to replace it? Well, you can, because iDrop is the area's leading mobile repair store, home of the 1 hour or less phone repair, 1 year parts warranty, and number one customer service. Broken screens, cracked cameras, charging ports, batteries, you break it, we'll fix it. If you didn't break your phone, protect it with one of our leading accessories such as LifeProof, OtterBox, UAG, Incipico, Caseology, and Spec. Visit our West Hills location at 7115 Kingston Pike between Office Depot and Hardee's, or call 865-888-9740 and speak with our trained technician to see how we can get your phone working today.
Insurance.
Nobody likes surprises, so switch to Erie Rate Lock. Get a great rate that stays that way even after an accident, ticket, or inflation. In fact, it's locked until you change a car, driver, or your address.
Your Erie agent in Knoxville is InsureFit RM. Get a quote at 865-684-4900. That's 865-684-4900.
Erie Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage and is not available in all states.
Looking for a different way to enjoy the Swain event? Then check out Swain Event TV, brought to you by Toyota Knoxville. Follow the show on Periscope and Facebook Live.
Anthony Harris and Aaron Beasley in a weekend. Boy, what a weekend for Tennessee football. Also, Tennessee basketball bringing in a local product, Drew Pember from Bearden High School, 6'9". Says it's a dream come true to be at Tennessee. And happy for him, happy for his family. Tennessee football going outside the state once again, dipping into Georgia and getting two defenders for this 2019 class. Aaron Beasley may play offense. He's certainly built to play offense. He has the athleticism to play offense. But when you look at the defense side of the football, you see all those coaches. Your head coach is a defensive guy. I could see how you can lean towards defense. But the kids, these two kids, man, athletic. That's what you want. And Tennessee, top 15. Right now.
But I thought Jeremy Pruitt can't recruit.
He was struggling.
I mean, same thing.
Yeah, he's struggling.
Can't recruit, struggling, same thing.
Yeah, he's struggling. That's what the that's what somebody said.
And that same somebody had a
struggling all the way to the bank
comment over the weekend saying that Jeremy Pruitt is keeping his word, by saying that, Jeremy Pruitt on signing day said that the 2019 class will be better than the 2018 class, and said person brought that up and mentioned, gave him credit. Kind of
I honestly forgot that guy was still covering Tennessee.
You didn't have to go there.
Nah, I'm just saying. I really forgot.
With Aaron Beasley, I keep wanting to call him Michael Beasley.
Yeah. Michael Beasley loves Knoxville, though.
How so?
He's lived here for a while. Also, he is a – last time I checked, he is signed to A3, the Knoxville-based sports agency. So, Michael Beasley is a big fan of this area. So, yeah.
There you go.
Maybe that's why I keep wanting to call him Michael Beasley.
Maybe. 865-255-03, B-Dry Waterproofing Hotline. Josh Belk, remember, he was a five-star defensive lineman that originally signed with Clemson because of his mother becoming sick. Dabo Swinney let him out of his LOI, which is very, very commendable. Even more so now because Josh Belk is going to South Carolina. So not only is he going to a rival. I mean, he's going to a school that's right there in the same state as him. So, probably should gave a attaboy to Dabo Swinney for allowing that to happen. Probably would have been really bad if he didn't.
Yeah.
But he still did it.
But I do believe that, like, Dabo genuinely let him out of his LOI because of the situation, not because I have to do it. And Dabo seems like the type of person that would do it out of the kindness of his heart. And I'm also glad that Josh Bell decided to go to South Carolina because that would have looked bad on him and his family.
If he didn't went anywhere
if
else.
If he had gone, yeah. Come to Tennessee.
And he was actually looking at, I think Georgia was looking at him too. And yeah. that would have been bad. That would have been some.
Yeah, Clemson got a lot of crap about the T. Higgins situation over the weekend. They deserve as much of a round of applause for this situation.
Yeah, I mean, if your mom is not feeling well and – you're out of your LOI, Clemson. If he would have went to Georgia or Tennessee, the vitriol would have been, I mean, it would have
not
been
good.
Out of control.
Eyebrows would have been raised.
Did not want that for him to be criticized for getting out of his LOI using his mother's health as a reason. But glad that he is able to be close to his family. And that says a lot about Dabo, knowing that you're going to have to play his kid. I mean, I'm pretty sure he knew, okay, this guy's probably going to go to South Carolina, and now you have to play against him for the next 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Yeah. It's not even a one-year thing. Like, you get a non-conference team in the opener. I mean, you have to play South Carolina the next – you may have to play him the next 3, 4, 5 years. So, I mean, like you said, that kind of speaks to Dabo's character.
Speaking of a little bit of character, I like Joe Moorhead kind of bouncing back a little bit and responding to Will Muschamp. Will Muschamp, recruiting theory is, hey, guys who are from this area are pretty much the only people that can recruit. Quote, as much as anything, what's different is our league is the recruiting element. It's 247, 365, and you have to be involved or it will get away from you. That's what a lot of coaches who come in our league don't always understand is that side of it. And Joe Moorhead, the head coach of Mississippi State, former Penn State offensive coordinator, didn't necessarily like those comments.
I don't blame him
either. He says, quote, I truly believe the region aspect of recruiting and coaching couldn't be more overblown. If you can recruit, you can recruit. If you can coach, you can coach. Nick Saban and Urban Meyer aren't Southern. He finishes, and they did okay in the SEC. Where you're born doesn't guarantee success, but it doesn't eliminate it. I honestly see both sides here. I see Will Muschamp's side. I see Joe Moorhead's side. Because you can't tell me that what Tennessee has done since Jeremy Pruitt has been the head coach, I mean the back end of last year's recruiting cycle with trying to get as much done right before the early signing period, to this point, we probably wouldn't have the success that we've had if we didn't have coaches that have coached in the SEC before. If Pruitt was not at Alabama. Pruitt has relationships with a lot of high school Alabama coaches. We have a South Alabama commit right now. You can't tell me that that does not play a part in recruiting a little bit. Now, Joe Moorhead, I think in 2 years or so, once he gets into the living rooms of players and he gets into the high school of players and his coaches get into the high schools of players, then it won't maybe make the biggest difference in the world, but it makes a difference. It certainly makes a difference.
I understand what Will Muschamp is saying. I don't think it makes a huge difference. I think it did for Tennessee in this aspect because of how far Tennessee had fallen off in recruiting. Tennessee had a bad reputation those last couple of months in recruiting, especially within the state because of kind of Butch Jones' interaction. So it helped Tennessee that you had a bunch of guys that you brought in that had SEC ties and they could kind of mend those relationships as best as possible. But I go back to real is real. If I agree with exactly what Joe Moorhead said. If you can coach, you can coach. If you can recruit, you can recruit. I mean, most recruits are going to be able to see the fluff that comes with a coach like a Butch Jones. I'm not trying to rag on Butch Jones, but he's a great example, quite frankly.
And Butch Jones still recruited fairly well here.
Yes.
Fairly well.
I know he did, but any head coach at Tennessee should recruit fairly well.
That's correct.
But
Moorhead's not at Tennessee, though. He's at Mississippi State.
He is. You could kind of even make the case that Mississippi State is more Southern than Tennessee is, in a way.
Well, very literally it is, actually.
Yeah, Mississippi is just
more Southern.
It is.
It's an armpit and butthole of America.
I don't know. I get what Will Muschamp is saying, but if I had to, quote-unquote, take a side, I would take Joe Moorhead's side because real is real, and a recruit is going to be able to see that.
Yeah, I think if you're a great coach, you're a great coach, you're a great coach. I don't really see the dispute here almost at all.
Not on the coaching part.
I mean,
on the recruiting part.
But on the recruiting part, well, and I guess I kind of lumped the two together.
Yeah, you can't lump the two together. They're separate.
That's true. Fair. But yeah, with recruiting, exactly like Ben's saying, these kids can sniff out nonsense.
I mean, look off the field at Mike's Live. He's as Northern as Northern gets, and he comes down, and because he's a good person, because he can relate to people, because he is genuine, because he's a good person, he was able to do a tremendous amount for this conference in a region of the country that he was not familiar with when he came here.
Oh, I look at Dan Mullen. What's he? He's from – let me look it up.
I don't even think it just applies to football.
Rhode Island, I think?
I think it applies to just kind of any profession. If you're good at your job, if you're a good person, you can succeed anywhere.
Yeah, don't use Dan Mullen. Dan Mullen's been in the South for like years and years and years.
True, but
Moorhead's coming straight from Penn State to Mississippi. Like
that's true.
This is one move.
But
Dan coached in Florida for a while, and then he's been in Mississippi State.
But
he has years of relationship building in the South.
His resume before Florida, though, grew up for his whole life in New Hampshire, then went to Ursinus College. I don't know what that is. And then Wagner, Columbia, Syracuse, Notre Dame, Bowling Green, Ohio, Utah, then Florida.
Yes.
Was at Florida for 3 years as an assistant, had whatever connections that got him. But he went into Mississippi State, which I would assume almost no connections to the state of Mississippi at that point. But Florida's not recruiting a ton out of the state
but
of Mississippi.
But he did.
He went in and ran the place. That's he got more Mississippi-based recruits than Hugh Freeze ever did.
That's using him as an example is tough because at Florida, he didn't have to recruit like that because he's an offense coordinator. Those offense coordinators are really not hitting the phones like that. They come in, you know, when a recruit gets to third base and he's doing home visits, things like that. I didn't talk to Randy Sanders until my home visit.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to Peter, Pat Washington, Woody McCorry, and Coach Former, and I met Randy Sanders in my home visit. And so you really don't recruit that much as a coordinator. And then he's at Florida. He wins the championship of Florida, and then he goes to Mississippi State. And he's had time to build those relationships. So Dan Mullen's a really tough example. Now, if you want to use Urban Meyer, when Urban went from Utah to Florida, okay, that's fine. That's what Joe Moorhead did. But Joe Moorhead is coming from Penn State to Mississippi State. And, yeah, coaching is coaching. 11 men on line of scrimmage. I mean, 11 men on offense, 11 guys on defense, 11 on special teams. Football is football. But recruiting is relationships. And if you don't have them – initially, it can affect you. So Will Muschamp, I think is right when he's talking about relationships and how recruiting is 24/7 and 365. I think it's going to affect him initially, like the first year or two. Once Morehead is here for a year or so, he's going to develop those same relationships that maybe Dan Mullen developed with the JUCO schools there in Mississippi, and then it's going to even out. But right now, if you have to ask me who has the advantage in the SEC recruiting, Will Muschamp or Joe Morehead?
I mean, it's definitely Will Muschamp.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It'll forever be South Carolina over Mississippi State, I think. But
well, I mean, it wasn't that way when Dan Mullen was there. I mean, Dan Mullen had the advantage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so like right now, it's Will Muschamp has recruiting advantages because he's been there longer and he has more relationships in SEC. Remember, he was at Auburn, he was at Florida,
yeah,
South Carolina,
Texas.
So he's been in the SEC, he's been in the South longer to develop those relationships with the high school coaches. Whereas Joe Morehead, man, he's been in Penn State. He's not recruiting the same guys and has the same relationships as Will Muschamp has had over the last couple of years. So that's what I'm saying. Will is right to a certain extent, but Joe Morehead is also right because in about a year or so, it may not make a difference as far as recruiting.
One thing to take into consideration, yes, Joe Morehead doesn't have those direct ties to the South and recruiting. He doesn't have those direct relationships. But what about his staff? I mean, a staff can help not necessarily
completely
overcome it, but it can kind of help soften the blow. Obviously,
yes.
They have Bob Shoop at defensive coordinator. They have Joey Jones, who he wasn't really in the SEC, but he was at South Alabama for a while. I'm sure he has a lot of connections within the South. So,
yeah, high school coaches there in Alabama.
Yes, correct. Yep. So, and Mississippi State is a school that, and this is what Dan Mullen did perfectly. I would argue that even when Dan Mullen was at Mississippi State, South Carolina was still recruiting better. But what Dan Mullen did so well is that he got those top guys in the state of Mississippi, and then he went and got those overlooked guys in Louisiana, the Dak Prescotts, the overlooked
Texas.
Guys in Texas, the overlooked guys in Alabama. Was the defensive lineman that was from Birmingham area, was committed to Tennessee. Corey Thomas, was that his name?
Yeah, Corey Thomas.
Mississippi State, guys like that.
Yeah.
So you kind of get the
McAdory High School.
So, I mean, yeah.
They're both right.
As long as Joe Morehead can recruit the state of Mississippi well and then get those underlooked guys in the surrounding states, I think he'll be fine regardless whether he has those initial relationships or not.
You mentioned the assistant coaches, and that's going to be very, very important. Terrell Buckley was – first of all, he's from Mississippi is kind of what I'm reading here, I think. But he was already at Mississippi State, so he's helped Mississippi State – in the past under Dan Mullen, and he's going to help. He's going to help Morehead. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to an in-home visit or when it comes to that meeting in a head coach's office, let's say I'm a recruit and I'm going on my unofficial visit to Tennessee and I'm going to Mississippi State, and I get invited to the head coach's office and the coach is going to offer me. You take a kid from Georgia or Tennessee or Alabama or Mississippi, and that family sitting in that office with Pruitt and then sitting in the office with Morehead, there's a chance that that family may feel more comfortable with someone who talks like them and sounds like them.
Correct.
That experiences some of the same thing they experience here in the South. There's a chance that initially Pruitt may have the advantage. Now, I think after a year or so, once Morehead goes into the high schools and he develops relationships with the high school coaches, that it can even out. That's what I think Will Muschamp is saying. And I don't think he's wrong.
No, he's not.
But when it comes to 11-on-11, football is football. Tennessee almost hired Mike Leach. Do we really think Mike Leach would have recruited the way that Pruitt has recruited so far if he was here? The answer is absolutely not.
No.
I think they'd be looking at different players altogether. That's something I've loved contemplating. Like, man, what would that have been like
Because Leach has been on one this offseason, if you followed his Twitter at all.
His Twitter account has been on one.
Last time I checked, that don't mean you win. That don't help you score any points.
No, it does not.
Any games. Or recruits.
It keeps me entertained some. I think about that whenever I see Leach.
We know you do, Charlie.
Whenever I see Leach come up on the timeline, I think, man, that would have been fun to cover. But then at the same time, I think, man... Yeah, he probably wouldn't have been the best dude for the job.
Tennessee would have been like outside the 30s or something right now recruiting.
Most likely.
I mean,
yeah.
Leach has already said he doesn't like to recruit that much. I'm sorry. I just do not see him recruiting at a high level here.
No.
Enough to win in the SEC.
No.
And his style of play would probably be problematic too, but I think both coaches have a point here.
Yeah, and
I really do.
I'll add one more thing on Joe Moorhead is he'll have a chance for an instant impact. I mean, he's set up for immediate success where he can kind of prove to those top Mississippi guys look, we've got this 1 year, we have this talented team, and look what I did with him. So, he had a chance to make an instant impact where South Carolina was in a hole from kind of Steve Spurrier dipping out early.
No, I agree. Moorhead seems like he has a little –
Edge to him.
I
like it.
Yeah, I do too, man.
He'll fit right in.
I do too. 865-255-03. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue. 850 AM, 100.9 FM, Rocky Top Sports.
JC's Tree and Landscaping Service specializes in quality tree work done at an affordable price. Trimming and removing trees are their specialty. They also offer other services like land clearing, stump grinding, crane services, and all of your basic landscaping needs for both commercial and residential. JC's will give you a free estimate and beat any written quote by a competitor to guarantee that you get the lowest price around. Don't risk your land with a fly-by-night service. JC's Tree and Landscaping is licensed and insured. Give them a call at 865-599-3799.
Hey, it's Jason Swain. There's a lot of people talking about testosterone, but do your homework and go to a medical provider that you trust and that specializes in testosterone. I got my levels tested at the Low T Center. Their physicians exclusively diagnose and treat men with low T. At the Low T Center, it's quick and easy. Treatment is even covered by most health insurance. Call 865-392-1388 or go to lowtcenter.com.
Craving homemade flavors that don't take hours in the kitchen? Mrs. Grissom's cheese spreads and chicken salads are the perfect go-to. Ready-to-eat meals and snacks found in the meat or dairy section at the grocery store with flavors of home in every bite. Whether you crave the classic Mrs. Grissom's pimento cheese or the gold gluten-free select cranberry pecan chicken salad, enjoy the sweet taste of a home-cooked meal in every container. Select the best. Select Mrs. Grissom's. Small town like a small town.
You don't have to take an L just because you can't listen to the Swain Event live. You can catch up on the podcast posted daily on the app, online, and on iTunes.
A65. 255-03, B-Drive Waterproofing Hotline. So last week, and probably for a few weeks, every once in a while we've had like some little issues there with the app. You hit the play button and you get this message. And for like the longest time, I've been trying to figure out, is it app? Is it stream? Is it stream? Is it app? And I cornered the two guys, put them in a room, my app guy and the customer service for the stream, and we got it resolved.
And we beat them up.
Yeah, and it wasn't the app guy.
Charlie, so, you didn't beat nobody up.
It wasn't the
app. Took a lead pipe to their knees.
It wasn't the app.
Charlie.
It was not the app.
No.
It was a little technical bug there with the stream where when you hit a certain number, it's supposed to open up a new, like a new gate to have unlimited streaming, but something went wrong on the streaming side where it didn't open up this new gate of listeners. And so what happens is that Eric message was coming up. And so they got fixed. That was resolved. And so if you get that again, please like send it to me so that way I can stay on top of it. Every time I check it, we're good to go.
She said.
And God, it threw me off. But anyways, if you get that message, just please let me know. Swain at SwainEvent.com is the email, but it should be resolved. I talked to the streaming company and my app guy last week at the end of the week. That Jeremy Pruitt interview kind of crashed things, and that's okay, man. That's okay. It really tested that server over there and those the servers that the app company, that the streaming company provides. But we got it resolved. So, again, if anybody has any issues, just let me know, and I can get those corrected as soon as possible.
I tell you what, the Jeremy Pruitt interview was awesome last week. But I, over the weekend, I received a lot of compliments about the Tony Vitello interview as well. People saying that they loved that interview as well. So if you missed those two, both of them, go back and listen to. And then we had Rachel Barbeau, mm-hmm. is that how you pronounce her last name, mm-hmm. on Friday. And she just kind of – she gave me a little burst of energy to get through the weekend. I had a long weekend work-wise, and she kind of – it was uplifting and kind of empowered me to kind of charge my batteries and just attack the weekend and get the job done. So three great interviews that I would recommend going back and listening to.
Yeah, she did a really good – really, really good job. And I know Pruitt was on some other shows – around Knoxville, if I'm not mistaken, I was told, but I also got to note that Pruitt enjoyed himself, and Pruitt has not chuckled on the live interview, is what I was also told, so we got him to laugh at least twice.
Well, I don't know if you'd say laugh.
He chuckled.
He chuckled. There's a difference between a chuckle and a laugh.
Hey.
He said laugh. What is that?
Laugh.
He did laugh.
He did. I think
it was a chuckle.
Primarily,
no one got him a chuckle. Though.
We asked him about We asked
twice.
Him about the asparagus and yeah,
and cornbread.
Got a little chuckle.
Well, I didn't really ask him. I just made a comment about it.
Well, yeah. Well, you did. You asked him specifically because I went back and listened to it. It's a great interview. And you asked him specifically. You do know what asparagus is now, right? You said something along those lines.
Those exact.
And he was like, "We're good. We're good."
Yeah. He knows now.
Did you ask him sweet or unsweet? I can't remember.
I did not.
No,
I did not. That
that would have put the debate to rest.
Well, that question came up, I think, after the interview. Okay.
I think that's what sparked the question, actually.
Yes, is when we talked about cornbread with Pruitt. But yeah. Unsweet, sweet cornbread. That was like a Thursday afternoon, evening debate,
yeah, because
on Twitter.
You had him on Thursday morning,
yes.
And then that debate was Thursday afternoon.
Yes, and then Friday we talked about it on the show, and then we asked Rachel Barbeau about it, and it's kind of been a thing. I need to find out if he is sweet or unsweet. I'm pretty sure he's unsweet.
People were making fun of me for enjoying sweet cornbread, but my fiance texted me and said that she only enjoys sweet cornbread. She doesn't even like unsweet cornbread. She'll only eat it sweet. So as long as the fiance, soon to be wifey, likes the sweet cornbread, I'm good to go.
Correct. I think there's a place and a time for both. Yeah, sweet, correct. Unsweet, jalapeno. I mean, different type of cornbread. You can eat it at different times. So.
I will say I'm going to have to try the unsweet with milk. I haven't tried that. And Turkey Man and Andy both said that that's the best way to do it. And I saw other people saying that. So
I could see it.
That's something that we're going to have to try.
For sure.
Vols74 says, sweet cornbread is from the north. If you eat sweet cornbread, then you just out yourself as a Yankee. And by the way, cornbread crumbled up in a big old tall cold glass of milk is the absolute best.
I don't know if I've ever
had milk.
I don't know if I've ever had cornbread in the north, period.
Wouldn't that be corn milk?
I've never had cornbread and milk before.
That.
I'm willing to try it, though.
I can see, like,
I'll try it.
Taking a bite of cornbread, drinking a swig of milk, but I can't imagine crumbling up the cornbread, putting it in there. That's like a smoothie of sorts.
I got a little bit of a texture phobia.
Yeah, and that's one.
And that feels
it doesn't
like
strike
I
often.
Love it.
Yes, I agree, Charlie. Yes. I'm right there with you.
It's just a little weird.
But maybe I would.
But maybe a cornbread dip in the milk.
Maybe like Oreo and milk.
Yeah.
Maybe. Knoxville Mike says, can you explain a little bit about Jaden Hill? And Jaden Hill's had Tennessee up there at the top along with South Carolina for a while. Now, he likes Travarge Robinson, who is his primary recruiter. Of course, he likes Will Muschamp, defensive-oriented. And, he's been there for a while. So there's a lot of mutual interest between South Carolina and Jaden Hill. But Jaden Hill was on campus this weekend. He's a 13th-ranked corner, according to 247 Sports. He's one of the top players in the state of Alabama, obviously. He's 6 foot, 172, and he goes to Bob Jones High School, which is the same high school as Reggie Ragland, who went to Alabama, plays for the Chiefs now, and LeBron Ray, who was a five-star defensive end that went to Alabama. Bob Jones is becoming like the powerhouse in that area in North Alabama for athletes. And so he was here during the weekend.
I believe LeBron Way went to James Clemens.
James Clemens, that's right. Bob Jones and Clemens split.
Yes.
So James Clemens
used to be Bob Jones. Yes. And then Bob Jones, 5,000 kids, and they split that up.
It's kind of like what happened with Hoover and Spain Park.
Yes.
So Hoover was just like overpopulated, and they broke it. And you had the birth of Spain Park there in Birmingham. So, yeah, James Clemens is where LeBron Ray went to. But Jaden Hill, he's a distant cousin of former Vol Jason Allen. And, hey, man, he likes Tennessee a lot. I'm not saying he's going to commit. All I'm saying is I would be on commit watch with him.
Well, all we have to do is call up his daddy, Will Smith. And
No. That's not his daddy. He does look like him, though.
He looks just like Jaden Smith.
No, he does.
He looks like Jaden Smith and Vaughn Pearson mixed together. Maybe it's because of the dreads.
I can see how you got to that conclusion. Yes, they look alike. I can't even lie. I can't deny it at all. But, yeah, I would put him on commit watch. He really enjoyed his visit. He's liked Tennessee for some time. I wonder if he's going to take another visit to South Carolina before he makes an announcement or a decision, and it looks like, according to the timeline, that he is scheduled to make a visit to South Carolina on the 14th. So we will see if Tennessee can go ahead and nail him down.
The prevailing predictions for him at the moment are for South Carolina, but the predictions I looked at were previous to his visit. So, see what happens. And we of course have to take into consideration that Ben wrote him a song.
I did.
He's going to go to South Carolina if he gets that. Easy.
No. Ben, of course. I will persuade him. Well, Will Smith wrote the song Miami, so mm-hmm. I wrote a remix called Knoxville. We're going to Knoxville.
Yeah.
South Carolina's going to be a hard team to beat. It's not fun recruiting against Travaris Robinson, T-Rob. He's kind of one of the elite recruiters in the SEC, has been for years. And so, but Tennessee's got his hands full, and as you said, Tennessee's in a good position to land him, and Tennessee desperately needs defensive backs.
We are in a really good position with Jaden Hill. I will not look at the crystal ball prediction and just automatically think he's going there. I would take that with a grain of salt, the same way I would take Crouch, the freak athlete from North Carolina, that crystal ball prediction as a grain of salt, because it's like a three-way tie between Tennessee, Clemson,
North Carolina,
and
it was one of those North Carolina schools, right?
I'm gonna pull it up right now. I know Clemson. I know Tennessee was right there for him. I might not have enough time to look it up and tell you right before the break, but he's a top five player. I don't know the third school there.
We will consult our research department during the break and get back to you on that.
I'm about to get it. Here it is right here. 6'2.5", athlete, South Carolina. Yeah. South Carolina,
that's right.
Clemson, Tennessee. Three-way tie. Crystal ball prediction for him. 33%. And Tennessee, I'm telling you, is in a really good spot. I remember when Tennessee was like in the teens. So more people are voting for Tennessee.
I don't, with
Quavaris Crouch.
I don't buy into the crystal ball. I'm just going to be honest with you. I believe it was Anthony Harris.
They're right a lot of the time.
They're also wrong a lot of the time, as 80% of the crystal ball for Anthony Harris had him going to North Carolina.
Well, just one player. Most of the time they're right.
Maybe that's just me, though. I honestly see – I tend to see them wrong more than, and maybe that's just me because I don't pay attention to the crystal ball, because I'm a big believer that a lot of those recruiting guys think they know what's going on but don't know what's going on.
Oh, they.
Dang. In terms of where they're going to school, not necessarily the recruitment, in terms of this kid is 100% going to sign with that school and that. In that department, because recruiting is so crazy. I'm not saying that they don't do a good job, but because recruiting is so crazy, until they sign the dotted line, I don't think anybody truly knows where they're going to go.
If you have the expectation that these guys will be 100% right, then you're just setting yourself up to say that they're all wrong because no one has been right. What you hope is that these guys have a 75% or better average, which most of these guys do. I know Callahan is like 70. 80.
Now, Callahan's good.
Yeah, and Callahan is like 75 to 80%, somewhere around that. Sometimes you just don't know. I mean, everyone thought Darrell Taylor was going to Virginia Tech, and he chose Tennessee. So, you know, if you have an expectation that every one of these guys will be 100% accurate, then you're just setting yourself up to not have any confidence in the crystal ball system.
That's kind of what I meant. People kind of assume the crystal ball is the tell-all for everything. They assume that it is 100% right, and that's not the case. That's more of what I was getting at than anything.
33% for Crouch, man. Kavaris Crouch, the number one ranked athlete, according to the 247 composite. Tennessee is creeping up, tied with Clemson and South Carolina. Swain Event, for what, coming up next?
Today will be clear with a high near 91 and a low around 62. Mostly sunny Tuesday with a high near 90, a 20% chance of rain tomorrow night with a low around 67. Wednesday, the 20% chance of showers hangs around, sunny, with a high near 90. Weather on the Swain Event is brought to you by B-Dry. If your basement is wet or cracked, B-Dry can help. B-Dry.com.
Do you have cracks in your foundation? A wet basement or a nasty, leaky crawl space? Our listeners have heard about them on the Swain Event for over a year, and now it's time to make the call. Give B-Dry Waterproofing and Foundation Repair the opportunity to fix your home's problem. Since 1958, that's right, nearly 60 years, B-Dry has been solving basement, crawl space, and foundation problems throughout the country. B-Dry only uses high-quality materials from reputable manufacturers. They back their installations with some of the best warranties in the industry to provide homeowners with added peace of mind. They are truly an A-plus company. Whenever you start experiencing a wet basement, leaky crawl space, or a cracked foundation, remember these three words. Better call B-Dry. Reach out to B-Dry today at 865-662-5238 to schedule your free appointment. That's 865-662-5238. Remember, better call B-Dry.
For what is coming up on the Swain Event.
Insects are not the only pests that can get into your house. Squirrels, possums, skunks, and raccoons can find their way into your home and become a nuisance. That's why Southeast Pest Control now offers wildlife service. They will humanely trap the animals and relocate them, including reptiles and even birds. They are available 24/7, and most estimates and inspections during regular business hours are free. If the animal has damaged your home, Southeast Pest Control provides repair and will also provide exclusionary work to prevent animal reentry. So if you hear scurrying in the attic, don't wait until you smell it. Call Southeast Pest Control at 865-925-3700 or find them online at southeasttermite.com.
Hey, Annie, you're the spokesperson for Toyota Knoxville, right?
That's right.
Why should I buy from Toyota Knoxville?
Are you looking for new or used vehicles?
Does it matter?
No, because Toyota Knoxville has over 390 new Toyotas on the ground and over 350 pre-owned vehicles available to choose from.
Okay, so big selection.
And a lifetime warranty at no charge on all new and select pre-owned vehicles.
A lifetime warranty.
A non-factory limited lifetime powertrain warranty with unlimited miles. Plus 30 years of experience in Knoxville, not just serving our customers, serving our community.
And the buying experience?
Hello, it's Toyota Knoxville. Read the reviews. Talk to anybody that's been there.
Okay. Where am I going?
Toyota Knoxville is at I-40 and the Lover Road exit. Go to Parkside Drive. You can't miss it.
Can I tell them Annie sent me?
I wish you would. If you're passionate about the car you drive, come meet the people that are passionate about the way they sell at Toyota Knoxville. ToyotaKnoxville.com.
Warranty good at participating dealers.
At some point in your life, you're going to need an attorney. You need a guy like Jerry Castile with the law firm of Butler, Vines, and Babb. Jerry Castile is East Tennessee born, and he understands what giving his all truly means. To Jared, every case is big and every client is important. He will aggressively push your case to make sure you are quickly paid every dollar that you deserve. Give Jared Castile a call, 865-244-3933, and talk with him directly. His office is located at 2701 Kingston Pike. So if you've been injured in a car wreck, let Jared Castile and Butler, Vines, and Babb fight for you.
We have all made the mistake of dropping or breaking our smartphones. See? But did you know that you can have it repaired for a fraction of the cost that it takes to replace it? Well, you can, because iDrop is the area's leading mobile repair store, home of the 1 hour or less phone repair, 1 year parts warranty, and number one customer service. Broken screens, cracked cameras, charging ports, batteries, you break it, we'll fix it. If you didn't break your phone, protect it with one of our leading accessories such as LifeProof, OtterBox, UAG, Incipico, Caseology, and Spec. Visit our West Hills location at 7115 Kingston Pike between Office Depot and Hardee's. Or call 865-888-9740 and speak with our trained technicians to see how we can get your phone working today.
Butch Jones replacing Philip Fulmer on the Jumbotron.
For what?
People getting drunk and stumbling into the wrong house.
For what?
Butch saying a chart told him to kick an extra point instead of going for two.
For what?
People who break the law while breaking the law.
For what?
All right, it's time for what? Wow. Looks like Charlie has a good one over there. All right, Charlie, what you got?
I'm not sure exactly where this is from. I was trying to find the Democrat and Chronicle, wherever that is where this is from. It says, macaroni salad trail leads to arrest of three. A trail of macaroni salad led police investigators in Livingston County to three suspected burglars on Sunday. According to a police report, police responded to a burglary at a burger restaurant in Mount Morris at 6:30 a.m. You're close to the sun. I guess the sun really would be up at that point, which is stupid to begin with. And then after the owners reported their surveillance system and cash register were missing, the investigation led police to the Greenway Trail, where they found cash register parts, surveillance system parts, rubber gloves, loose change, and quote-unquote, a steady trail of macaroni salad. It was later discovered that the suspects stole a large bowl of macaroni salad, which they then took turns of eating along their escape route. And that is how they were tracked down. Police followed the spilled macaroni straight to Matthew Sepetko, James Marullo, and Timothy Walker, all from Idaho. They were charged with third-degree burglary, third-degree criminal mischief, and larceny. Oh boy. I mean that's about right though. So I still don't know where this is from. Maybe this is from Idaho.
I'm saying Florida.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, this is from Florida. These dudes are stupid. And you know, just take the money and go. You don't need the macaroni salad, and I'm trying to help you here. I'm trying to help you get away. You don't have to eat on the way to your escape route, but that's my for what for today. These dummies from Idaho.
What you got, Ben? You got anything?
I do not.
I'm giving my for what to Bronco Mendenhall, the head coach for Virginia. And you know, we like coaches that are honest. We like players that are honest and keep it real, as they say, right? Well, there is a time and place to keep it real, and sometimes you can keep it too real. Bronco Mendenhall was talking to a board of visitors, his UVA board of visitors speech on Friday morning, and he dubbed it the State of the Program Address, noting that he preferred to relay his philosophy directly as opposed to going through, in his words, is unreliable press. And so during this, quote, State of the Union, he says, I believe we have 27 27 ACC caliber football players on our roster today. Quote, I believe we have 27 ACC caliber football players on our roster today. So that's one third of his football team he thinks can play at an ACC level. If you didn't know much about Virginia football or Bronco Mendenhall, you would think that Bronco was just hired as a head coach. That's not entirely accurate. He was hired in 2016. So he has had 1 year of trying to keep a class together after a coaching change. And last year was his first year after that. I'm sorry, man. Don't blame the other coach for your roster. And you've been there. This is your second year. You just basically told your players that they're not good enough. I hate when coaches do that.
And coming off a pretty decent year, too. They made it to a bowl game.
I hate when coaches do that. Mm. Bronco Mendenhall gets it for what? There's a time and place to keep it real. And that just wasn't the right time. Hour 3 is coming up. Swain Event.